Okay, so yesterday we set out the more machmir case as it emerges from the Mishnah. But just to remind ourselves what we saw that the Mishnah in Kiddushin presents a machlokes as to whether, you know, can you just get me one of the easier to wear masks? Yeah, this. So we saw that there was a machlokes the chachamim. Well, Rabbi Shmuel in the end of the day, and according to Yerushalmi the Rabbanan, versus Rabbi Eliezer, as to whether Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz mi d'oraita. We saw that based on the Stam Mishnah in Arla, there's good reason to believe that we would paskin that way. In addition, we saw that in the Yerushalmi, thank you, that in the Yerushalmi, as well in Arla, we saw that the Isser would apply as well to the produce of non-Jews, which would remove another, you know, avenue of Heter. And we noted as well that in the Gemara we had been doing in Menachot, you have a three-way machlokas as to when exactly you have to wait to eat the new grain, but two out of the three of them, whatever they thought you had to wait on Sveka Dioma, which means that they were treating Suffolk L'chomro, which means they were treating it as D'oraisa. And therefore, what we left off is that there is good reason to believe that this is, in fact, the Chadash is also from Chutz, even if it belongs to a non-Jew, is grown by a non-Jew, and even if it is, and that is biblical. And that is, you know, there is a lot of evidence in that direction. So there is, let's look at two more pieces of Chazal before we can move on. So one is the Gemara on Pei Gimel Amud Beis here in Menachot. And this, as I said, is not necessarily evidence l'kula, but it's potential evidence depending on the lamdus. So if you look at the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, this is the beginning of the new Perek, the Mishnah says that if you have your Gemara, just, you know, this is nothing fancy, just the Gemara. Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Kol karbanot atzibor vayachid boim min haaretz umichutz laaretz min hachadash umin hayashan. All public karbanot comes from Eretz Yisrael or from Chutz Laaretz, from new or old, except chutz min haomer shtei alechem shenen boim ela min hachadash umin haaretz. Except for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem that come from new grain and from the land, meaning from Eretz Yisrael. The Kulon Einan Bon Ela Min HaMuvchar, and they all have to come from the best, Ve'ezu Muvchar Shalem, and then it clarifies, okay? So you skip now to the Gemara says, Masnin Loki Aitano, our Mishnah is not in accordance with the following position in the Tano. I am the Tanya, because the Braita records the following position. Omer abamin ayashan kasher. If the omer comes from the old grain, it is valid. Shtelechem abamin ayashan ksherot. Ela shechitzer mitzvah. Shtelechem, it's kasher, but you lose out on a mitzvah, meaning it's not ideal. Dechtiv takriv min chad bikurecha vafilu min aliyah. Shtelechem, dechtiv mimoshu dechem taviyu velo min chutzlaret. How do we know that you have to bring it from Eretz Israel? Because it says, it's omer is from takriv min chad bikurecha. And shalachem mimosh v'otichem, not mi'chutz l'aretz. So now skipping down to skip to Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, really to the top of the page. Aval be'aretz lo pligi domer shalachem eretz in mi'chutz l'aretz lo. But when it comes to the question of Eretz Yisrael, they don't disagree, right? They disagree about some of the other details, but the fact that the Omer and the Shalechem need to come from produce in Israel, that is agreed upon. Kiman deloki aitana, unlike the following position, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda Omer, over ba mi chutz laaretz. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says that Omer comes from chutz laaretz, umani mekayim ki tavo al aaretz, so if you can bring the Omer from chutz laaretz. So why does the pasuk say you bring the omer when you come into the land? Shlo nitchayvu beomer komer kodem shenichnasu laaretz. Because they didn't become chayiv in the Omer until they came into Israel. But once you did, you could bring the grain from anywhere. Ukisavar chadash b'chutz laretz deoraitohi. And he holds that chadash in chutz laretz is biblical. Dichtiv mimosh v'etechem. As it says in your dwelling places, kol makom shatem yoshvim mashma. Kol mako means wherever you happen to live. V'chitavu zman biyohi v'kim d'oraita yakruvei nami mekriven. So what do we see from this Gemara? What's the simplest part of this Gemara? The simplest part of this Gemara is that the question of whether Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz or not hangs on which other question? No. This Gemara, this line. Whether Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz. Right? Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. Again, Omer Bami Chutz Laretz. The Omer can come from Chutz Laretz. Why? So why does it say only when you come into the land? To tell you that you're not obligated in the Omer until you got to Israel. And he holds Chadash b'chutz laretz d'oraitohi. And he holds that Chadash outside of Israel is biblical. Which means that the Gemara seems to hold that the question of whether you have to bring Chadash and Chutz Laretz from Chutz Laretz, sorry, whether you're allowed to bring the Omer from Chutz Laretz might hang on the question of whether Chadash is also in Chutz Laretz. And therefore, one avenue of Kula would be that if you follow this Gemara. Now, what would be the logic for that?
Why is there a Kula?
Wait a second. What would be the logic to that?
To what?
Why would you say that if Chadash is also in Chutz Laretz, then you're allowed to bring the Omer from Chutz Laretz? I mean, what is his argument?
Because then it has the same status.
So it could just be the same status, but even more strongly, I think, remember, coming back to some conceptual issues we dealt with last week, and that's why I said these are very important here, is if you think it's a matir, or if you think the Omer permits the grain, then wherever the grain is usser, you can bring the grain for the carbon from. But if it's not usser, then why would you be able to bring grain from there? It can't. It doesn't need to be come permitted, and therefore it doesn't make sense to be the matir. And that seems to be the argument of Rabbi Yehuda, is that if the Omer is a matir, so if Chadash is also in Chutz Laretz, you should be able to bring the carbon from Chutz Laretz. So now, go back to the Mishnah. But wait 1 second, but has the Mishnah Paskin? Remember we said the importance of Stam Mishnah? How does this Mishnah Paskin? That where does the grain have to come from? From Eretz Yisrael. So if everyone agreed to Rabbi Yehuda's connection, which is that wherever the Yisr Chadash applies, you can bring the Omer, so then, if 1 second, he clearly holds. What does Rabbi Yosef Rehuda clearly hold?
He holds that
wherever Chadash is Asr,
you can bring
grain. And if Chadash is not an Asr, you can't bring the grain from there. But that means that according to that, if the author of our Mishnah held the same position of Yosef Yehuda in terms of that connection, so the fact that he says you can only bring the Omer from
Eretz
Yisrael, what would that prove according to him?
At least Deraisa, that
Chadash
only Asr.
Very good. Except, it could be, and this is always what you have to ask, what is the author of the Mishnah arguing on? He could be arguing one of two things. Either he could agree that the role of Omer is as a matir, and therefore these two issues are intrinsically connected. Namely, wherever Chadash is Aser, you can bring the Omer, wherever Chadash is not Aser, you can't bring the Omer. And therefore, Yosef Yehuda thinks Chadash is Aser from Chutz Laretz, thinks you can bring the Omer from Chutz Laretz, and the Tanakhama who thinks you can't bring the Omer from Chutz Laretz, must hold that what? Must hold like Rabbi Yishmael, that Chadash Midoraita doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. That's one possibility. What's the other possibility? What's the other way of explaining the position of the Tana of our Mishnah? Right? Right, meaning there's two assumptions here. Right? One is that bringing the Omer is intrinsically connected to where it's Matir. And the second is that even Chadash and Chutz Laretz is Aser needs a Matir. Those are the two assumptions. So in any Machloket, If you want to explain the machloket can be explained by arguing on either of the assumptions. Right? Meaning there are two assumptions of Rabbi Yosi Yehuda. One is that the heter of the Omer and the Karban HaOmer, the mitzvah of the Omer, are intrinsically connected. The Isser Chadash and the mitzvah of the Omer are intrinsically connected. And two is that Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz. The Tanakhama can argue on either one.
Right.
Right. If you wanted to be Makil, you would say, since the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds that you're only allowed to bring the Omer from Eretz Yisrael, that might mean he only holds that.
It's there, isn't it?
That Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but what's the other possibility?
That he doesn't hold that Omer is Matzah.
He doesn't hold that the... Right, meaning he thinks that Omer is a mitzvah, and therefore...
And therefore,
you could have Chadash, Aser, and Chutz La'aretz, but still only be allowed to bring the Omer from Eretz Yisrael. And what is a good reason to believe...
Why a mitzvah can only be from Eretz Yisrael?
Oh. Before you get to that question, what would be evidence of the fact that the Tanakhama holds position 2 and not position 1? Give me good evidence in the next line in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama holds of that and not the first position. Meaning, there's no reason to believe, based on our Mishnah, that Tanakhama thinks that Chadash is Mutter and Chutz La'aretz, even though he thinks you can't bring the Omer from Chutz La'aretz. What's the next line? V'kulon einin bon, elam en amavchar. Is that, in addition to the limitations on Eretz Yisrael, there's all types of other limitations. Now, we can spend more time in this mission and say, why Eretz Yisrael? Because it's more beautiful. But the point is, no one would say that Chadash only applies to nice grain, and yet we say that the carbon has to be brought from good, the best grain. Why?
Well, no, that could be the mitzvah aspect of it.
Correct, but that's not my point. Is that the Tanakhama could hold that the reason they bring it from Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah aspect. That doesn't prove that Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. It's just that Eretz Yisrael is more muvchar because the Karban HaOmer represents the new grain and agriculture in Eretz Yisrael is more connected to Hashkacha, right? Because, right, as the Pesukim say, right, if you follow the ways of Hashem, He gives you produce. In Eretz Yisrael, if you don't, right? Meaning it's the country of Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba Meir Shir Hashana Anachrei Shana. So you could say that the Omer, which is coming to thank God for everything He gives us, should be brought from Eretz Yisrael, which symbolizes that relationship with God when it comes to Parnassah and agriculture. There's a good logic to that, but all the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, has to say is that the reason you bring it from Eretz Yisrael is because of the mitzvah aspect and not the matir aspect, and you lose your proof. No, what was your question?
I'll say it when we get back there.
Okay, right? Is that clear? Now, who happens to hold this? Who happens to hold that Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz and the mitzvah is only to bring it from Eretz Yisrael? The Rambam. Right? You look at the Rambam... That's the Rambam Paskin. The Rambam Paskin says Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz and he applies, it says, and this is Tzmidin Musafin, Zayin Hay, that Ein Mevi'in Min Chazo... El Omer Tzisrael, Shenemar, Veveitim, and Omer Reshit, Kserchem, Ela Kohen. Mitzvato, Lavomenakarov, Lavomenakarov, Vedomichomakom, Me'eretz Yisrael. Yes, the Beit Yosef makes this point as well. So, but if you wanted to come up with Kula, you could argue that what?
It's only.
You could argue that.
Right,
and you could argue that the Tanakhama isn't coming from the mitzvah aspect, he's coming from the matir aspect.
You'd have to paskin. The mitzvah can be brought.
Correct. And you'd have to paskin like the Stam Mishnah here. But if you wanted to do that, you'd have a benefit. Why? Because now you have a Stam Mishnah. Remember the powers of a Stam Mishnah? Now you have a Stam Mishnah that says you're only allowed to bring Omer from Eretz Yisrael, and if you think bringing Omer from Eretz Yisrael means that the Yisrael is limited to...
This Stam Mishnah can be read two ways.
Correct.
The other Stam Mishnah is very clear.
100%. And that's why I said this would be an avenue for Heter. It's not a glot avenue for Heter, but it is an avenue for Heter. So that's the second to last piece of Chabbalah I want to do for now. There is one a bit later, which is very weird, which... I don't know, maybe you want to do it. You know what? Maybe we should do it now. Yeah, maybe we'll do it now. One of the Gemara that highlights what I just said, in addition to this, is a very strange Gemara on Menachot Samech Tet. This was the second to last source I gave you. Right? Actually, no, sorry. It's not this one. You know what? We'll leave it as that for now. There is another Gemara that seems to highlight this on Samach Terem and Bet, which is what happens if the grain for the Mincha Omer, comes out of the sky, out of clouds. It rains from heaven. Is that allowed to be used for Omer?
What?
Yes. That's why I said I want to sort of do that standalone. Because there's an interesting little Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos there.
First the Beis Hamikdash, now grain.
Yep, first the Beis Hamikdash, and now magic grain for the Omer. Welcome to the weird world of... yes. Okay. But that is a potential avenue for Heter. Let's look at one more piece in Chazal, and then we're going to try to come to try to get towards Halacha. So, the last piece in Chazal I want to look at is the Yerushalmi in Chala. So this is source 5. So look at the Yerushalmi in Chala. You want to... What?
Trying to get the Yerushalmi
out.
This isn't a
Chala. No?
It's on my table.
There's only... Oh, this one? It does have Chala, right? Yeah. Yeah.
The
so,
other one's a better...
Okay, so get the other one over here. So it's Chala Beis Aleph, number 5. So again, so far what we have is a lot of sources in Chazal that point that the overwhelming view is that Chadash Chutzart is Do'oraita, even belonged by a non, even if it was grown and belongs to a non-Jew, and the Gemara and Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Pei Dalet Aleph, where it's not clear. Right, it says that we paskin that you're allowed to, that you're only allowed to bring Omer from Eretz Israel, but that may or may not, according to the Tanakhama, depend on the Isser Chadash. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, it clearly does, but according to the Tanakhama, it could go either way.
Who's the Pnei Moshe?
Pnei Moshe is one of the Perushim on the Yerushalmi.
Right.
Yes.
Who is he?
What's his name?
Or apparently you don't know.
So all of them are basically all the Achronim on the Yerushalmi.
So these are all Achronim.
Yeah, the only one that's sort of borderline is the Rosh Tzurliya, but that's not in yours, right? You don't have the Rosh Tzurliya there.
I have the Ritbaz, Tosfos Harid, and the Mar.
Yeah, so the Rishonim didn't write so much. I'll say there on the so the Pnei Moshe is right. Moshe ben Rabbi Shimon Margalit. Born in around 1710 in Kaiden, Lithuania. They're all basically, a lot of them are related to the Gra, essentially. Right? Like, Talmidim the Gra, because that's when people were really learning Yerushalmi. There's a tradition that he was the teacher of the Gra. Okay. He is most famous for his Rashi-like commentary to the Jerusalem Talmud. Yes. It was first published in 1755.
What do you mean by Rashi, like using his script or having contradictory?
No. That it goes like line by line. Like it's not a. It's not like Tosfos. It's a Rashi. It's a pshat commentary. Okay.
Well, there seems to be some. It says Tosfos here.
Tosfos is a Rid, yeah, but there's not the Rishon Tosfos Rid.
Right.
It's also an Achron.
So
who just like for some reason name? Stole the name of the Tosfos Rid? I don't really know.
He also writes a lot.
Yes, he does. I mean, the earliest like running commentary we have is the Rosh Cyrilio. Or technically the Rosh. Probably, I mean, Cyrilio is one word in Hebrew, but it's Sir Leon, obviously.
Sir Leon.
What?
So, where's he from?
From Sir Leon. Sir Leon. He is from not working. Okay. In the beginning of the article, the truth is, if you look at the beginning of my article, Yerushalmi, I'll give you the bio.
Rabbi, you should tell the issue to buy some parts.
This is Amudim's. Someone donated the whole the set to Amudim.
Why did Amudim get a set?
Because the person who owns it donated to Amudim. I mean, I have some of my own at home, but
they don't
have my
screen. All of them, though.
No, they
don't. Let them fool you.
Okay, so bio. At the beginning of each one, they do a little bio of these of the main Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi. So, here. So Rosh Cyrilio, the earliest known comprehensive commentary on a large part of Yerushalmi is that of Rav Shlomo Cyrilio. He was born in Spain in 1485. but after the Spanish expulsion, he lived in Salonika. Later moved to Tzvat, and eventually served as the rabbi of Yerushalayim until he died in 1558. The commentary of Rashi really covers the entire Seder Zrayim, as well as Tractate Shkalim, Seder Moed. In the Vilna edition of the Yerushalmi, it is printed only for Brachot and Peah. The complete commentary appears in the excellent Mutzalma H edition of Yerushalmi Zrayim. In addition to writing his commentary, Rashi Eliyahu labored to correct the text of Yerushalmi and eliminate many of the copyist errors that had crept in over the centuries. His amended Gemara text is reproduced alongside his commentary in the Vilna and Mutzalma H editions of Yerushalmi. In our elucidation, we have occasionally cited emendations of Rashi Eliyahu, etc. Okay, that's it. He said he's the earliest. 1485, that's pretty early. The Sefer Charedim is also pretty early. He's 1533 to 1600. He writes on, but we only have it on Brachot and Beitza, even though he seems to have written on more. But most of them that we have, Pnei Moshe is one of the main commentaries. He's 1775. You have the Gra, who's late 1700s, early 1800s. The Ridvaz is 1845 to 1914. Yeah, the Ruchaim Kanievsky, who's still alive, he has a running commentary. The Korban Eida is 1707 to 1762. The Marafolda is 1710. Marafolda is excellent. I really like the Marafolda. I really do. Anyways, what? No, mine has it, but mine has it. Okay. Anyways.
So
Bet Aleph in Yerushalmi in Chala.
I mean, it's Perik Bet Alocha Aleph.
Correct. Perik Bet Alocha Aleph. From the line of Rabbi Yona Boy Kume Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Oh, right.
Got it? So Rabbi Yona Boa Kume Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yona asked in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Got it? No?
Is this in the beginning of the Gemara? Oh, here.
Got it? Okay. So, Rabbi Yona Abaye, Kumi Rabbi Yirmiyah. Bishash Nichnasu Yisrael La'aretz, Umotza Kemach Lacha, Mao Shetehe Asura Mishum Chadash. When the Jews moved into Israel, and they first came in, and they found grain, which was still fresh, Lacha, right, still moist. So is it asur mishum chadash, right? Meaning if it was dried out, you can assume that it's from years past. But let's say it's from this year. So is it asur mishum chadash? So amar lei lamalo. So what do you say to him? Why not? Why shouldn't it be asur? So ad kedon lacha afilu yevesha. Is that true even of dry grain, and older grain? Amar lei, he said afilu yevesha, afilu ketura. Even if it was dry, even if it's already been cut. Me'ata, he said, if that's the case, me'ata afil chitin ba'aliyah. So then even grain that had been stored, meaning if you're saying this, that basically, he retorts him and he says, are you telling me that, well, if you want to look at the Mefarshim, you want to see how the Mefarshim work here, you can look. So he says, he writes, look at the Pnei Moshe. Hey, Lord Yirmiyah, Kach Ani Omer. Lo Yochlu Yisrael Matzah B'Leilei HaPesach Boto Shana. Barakok Tivi Yochlu Me'abor HaOrez Me'achar HaPesach U'Zverach HaDavka Me'achar HaPesach U'Vlo Kimu Be'erav Tochlu Matzot B'Leilei Pesach B'Bid Me'ah El Adlot Unchin Nishim Elie Lo Choshu Shem Mitu HaChadash O Main Ochlu Matzah B'Leilei HaPesach Avshu Kodem HaOmer. He says, wait a second. If you're telling me, basically, that all grain was Usher until they brought the first Korban Omer, meaning all grain from all of history, right, until it was an Omer brought, anything in Eretz Yisrael remained Aser. So that means even things which are stored in the granary in your attic, they've been there for years, even though they already had a 16th of Nisan, then that means all grain is Aser. Right? If you're telling me that when they moved into Eretz Yisrael, they needed to bring the Omer in order to be Matur all the grain. So he says, if that's the case, Kachani Omer, Lo Yochel Yisrael Matzah B'Leilei HaPesach. So then how could the Jews on that first year when they moved into Israel have eaten matzah on Pesach? Right, because according to you, all grain would be aser. So Amar Rav Yona, b'dinafkos tiyed lomrit lei, shanai eishim, it was ase docha, it was los ase. He said, don't worry yourself too much about this. Why?
Ase docha.
Ase docha, los ase, you're right. All grain when they moved into Eretz Yisrael was Asur, Mishum Chadash, but because the only way to Mekayim, the mitzvah is of matzah is grain, and you can't wait until the 16th, because then you've missed the mitzvah of the first night. So Azidoch Alozo say. So Al Daiti, the Rabbi Yona, do Omar mitzvah Azidoch Alozo say. Ava Bishin Akduva Betzita Nicha. Al Daiti, Yosi, do Omar mitzvah Azidoch Alozo, Lemkein Akduva Betzita Mayu. He said, okay, there's a machloket within Ase Dochalotase, whether Ase, a positive commandment, knocks off all prohibitions, only when the mitzvah and the prohibition are juxtaposed in the Torah. So he says, if you think that all Ases can knock off Lotase, so fine. But if you think that only Ases and Lotases that are related, right, by being juxtaposed to each other, that's the only time Ase Dochaloza say, then in this case, you wouldn't be allowed to eat matzah. That's Chadash, because it's the rule of Ase Dochaloza say wouldn't be invoked.
This is the first year that they're talking about?
The first Pesach.
So then, then you can say
after that,
the Pesach didn't apply it because they didn't conquer anything yet.
So that's the Gemara's answer later, but that's Rabbi Shmuel's position, which I haven't introduced yet. Right? So the Gemara says, so Al-Daiti, so Mashiyu, so then the Gemara says, okay, then how did they do it? So Mashiyu Tagare Goyim Mocherlen Uker Rabbi Shmuel. He said it's what they bought from non-Jews and Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel Amar called Biyach and Emru B'Torah La'achar Arba Seishana Nemru Sheva Shekivju Sheva Shechilku. Now this is, and it's like Rabbi Shmuel that it didn't come until the 7 years later. So this is a little bit weird, right? So you have to figure out what is going on here. So Pnei Moshe says, and this is where you start seeing the ambiguity. So the first answer was, maybe they bought it from non-Jewish businessmen. Now where did those non-Jewish businessmen get it from?
That's right.
So there's two possibilities. One is that it's what non-Jews own, well really three. One is any non-Jewish owned land in Eretz Yisrael. But that seems unlikely because, as the Mefarshim note, Eretz Yisrael halachically is considered Jewish. So that probably doesn't work. But then the question is, what is...
If Eretz Yisrael is halachically Jewish, and that means farmers, like you said here, that sell their fields and stuff.
Correct, that's one of the big problems. Problem. Yes. So, he says... Hedra Mechira, we're not going to get into now. But
no, but when they do that, do they on their produce write, like, oh, it was...
Hedra Mechira, yes.
Oh, so it like says that?
Yeah.
Not just that.
Okay. Yeah. Or men on the produce, but in the store. The store will say, we use Hedra Mechira. Yeah. You'll see it. Okay. So here's the question of a farsha I'm going to deal with. What does it mean that they got these produce from non-Jews? So, there are three possibilities. It could be that anything owned by non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael is not subject to Chadash. That's an unlikely read, but not technically impossible. What are the other two possibilities? That, so the Pei Moshe says, it's not that it was owned by a non-Jew. The issue here is that this sheet in the Gemara assumes that Chadash didn't apply in Chutz Laretz, and the issue isn't that it was non-Jewish businessmen, it was that the non-Jews were bringing produce from Chutz Laretz, and this defense of the Gemara is, according to the Shita, that Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. Like Rabbi Ishmael, and this is like Rabbi Ishmael. Why is it like Rabbi Ishmael? Because if you remember Rabbi Ishmael, why did Rabbi Ishmael think that Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz? Because he thinks that the words... Correct, he thinks the word of Yeshiva, V'chol Moshav Deichem, is about Lacha Yerushav Yeshiva. Now, there's a little bit of a problem in this Yerushalmi, which is that according to Rabbi Ishmael, Lishitato, you shouldn't need it dafka from Goyim at all, because you should be able to take it from Eretz Yisrael, because Chadash doesn't apply even Eretz Yisrael for the first 14 years. Right? Right?
Well, no, because they could have just, like said to themselves, oh, at one point is it considered conquered?
Oh, so, well, so the Panemotion just gives... He says 14 years. He says very specifically, after the 14 years. The Panemotion gives a much more pshat answer, which is that if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, so then you think that the words B'chol Moshe Rodeichem teach you that you're not chayev until Lacha Yushev Yeshiva. The issue here was that they got it from non-Jews because Chodesh didn't apply in Chodesh Laretz. Why didn't you just say they got it from Jews in Eretz Yisrael? Technicality, which is they hadn't grown it yet. They came in on the 15th. Right? That's when it says they came in. They came in on right before Pesach. Right? So like,
it's really bad timing.
Yes, but that's when it was. Right, because remember, Moshe dies in Zion Adar. They mourn 30 days. It's Zion, right?
Why didn't they just like wait an extra week?
Okay, that was what they did. You know? What do you, I don't know.
Why?
That's what they did. So, like, I don't know. Well, you know? So that is how... But according to this, the read of the Pnei Moshe, so now, what does the Yerushalmi hold? That Chadash does?
Not apply
in Chutz Laretz. There, alternatively, if you wanted to just read the Yerushalmi straight, what would you say? That what do you learn in this Yerushalmi?
Doesn't apply to non-Jews.
That doesn't apply to produce owned by non-Jews. Very good.
Lit.
So here is where you have the interpretation of this Yerushalmi, which is a bit unclear, is...
Under Shonim, Paskin Halacha, do they consider Yerushalmi?
They do in this context, yes. Because there's a lot more material in the Yerushalmi, and because there is no Zerayim on Bavli.
What?
There's no Zerayim on Bavli. There's no Bavli on Zerayim, except for Bracha. There's no Bavli on Chala. So Yerushalmi gets a lot more press when it comes to Zerayim issues.
Maybe that's a proof that it wasn't an issue in Bavli.
Well, it's not any of it, but anyways, even a challah, which everyone agrees applies. Okay, so this is why the Yerushalmi, right? This Yerushalmi is where some of the kulot starts to come up because the Yerushalmi might be read as saying that Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz, or might be come to saying that at least grain owned by non-Jews doesn't come, right? Depending on what you think the Iker is. You also have to assume that Yerushalmi is posking this way, not just interpreting it within a certain position, right? And as we'll see in some of the Mefarshim, the exact read of this Yerushalmi, as we can already see, is a bit unclear, right? There's a lot of complexities here in the Yerushalmi, but this is one of the main Yerushalmis that's going to provide these two potential avenues of Heter, either saying we actually paskin Chadash and Chutz Laretz is mutter, or saying that Chadash belongs to non-Jews is mutter. Okay? We'll see. We. Suddenly, we. What is this we?
Meaning in this year, we haven't got that portion yet.
We've seen the Yerushalmi. I said, so far what we're doing is we're outlining positions.
For yourself.
Fine. Is it supposed to be the header?
What read ahead? I want you to realize we're going slowly through these issues. La'at, la'at, shkoyach, aryeh. That's a miracle. We have a printer. That's a...
Ba'uch Hashem.
May God's name be blessed.
The Ribbono Shel Olam blessed us with the printer.
I have been waiting for a working printer in this place for a while.
You make a
separation
that we get a working printer?
I don't know. I'm not sure it's that level. Okay?
Maybe
Shechayanu. Maybe Shechayanu. I don't know. What do you, Shmuel David, what do you think? A brach of Shechayanu on a working printer?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
Yeah. I look.
We just turned it on. We have to see how long it lasts. The other one lasted also two days.
It's true. If it works a week straight, we can say Sha'asa Nisim B'makom HaZeh. You know, like, it's... No, the problem was that the previous printer, we asked the person at the thing, the reason they kept giving us a new printer every time it broke was because it was defunct and they had recalled it. So they basically said, like, well, every time, okay, just take the same one, take a new one. It was the same, it wasn't they kept fixing the printer, it was a new printer.
But it wasn't a problem last year for like the first 6 months of the year.
Oh no, that printer was garbage. We got that printer in the middle of last year. Our old printer broke. You weren't here last year.
No, I mean, the beginning of this year, the first, like, 6 months...
Oh, no, it was terrible. No, it was garbage. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Terrible printer. See, that's what everyone needs to know.
This is, like, a big... it does everything.
Yo, we always say that when we get the new printer, and then it doesn't work.
And then it works. I know, like, 3 days later. I know, come on, man. Okay. I'll test it out. Maybe for a got it this year. Oh, I brought my computer and thinking I'd have to do it from my computer, but maybe not. Maybe I'll actually be able to print out my cover sheets for a got it. That would be...
Start killing trees again.
Yeah, we've saved a lot of trees. We have indeed saved a lot of trees in the last few weeks.
The most paper these days is recycled. I don't make from trees anymore.
Yeah, but you know what?
Maybe in Israel. I don't know.
But you know what? It was quite the nace that we have... we definitely saved many trees with... zooming and whatever. Fine. Okay, but those are all the main, the central texts.
Is there a shir tomorrow?
What?
We don't have shir tomorrow, do we?
No. I mean, if you want, we can have some sort of shir on Zoom or something during the day. But I'm not going to come in an Erev Yontif.
Right. I want to, so like...
Especially since... Right. Especially since Wednesday is my late night. I'm not leaving till after 10 tonight, so like I'm not... So I'm not going to like rush back in the morning on an Erev Yontif.
If you want to do something over... Yeah, Zoom.
Whatever, we can talk about it. Okay, so those are the main Ma'amarei Chazal. And what we've seen basically is that on balance, most of them come out to Chumrah. This Yerushalmi is a little bit unclear how to read it, but may or may not provide. And we'll see that the Mefarshim are going to go back and read these Yerushalmis. May or may not provide us with some kulos, whether it has to do with Chutz Laaretz or Goy. And possibly the Gemara in Menachot Pekim on Beis Beit Amon Aleph, depending on how much you think the mitzvah and the matir are connected, may provide us with kula also. Yes, Noah, you had a question.
Just talking about earlier when you talked about the grain, you said it was good grain, good as in it was good looking, or it was the
good quality.
All right.
Yeah, when you bring the omer, it should be from good quality grain.
One that catches your
eye. Right. So again, the Gemara again. The Mishnah on Pekim Aveis, which la halacha, we bask, and you can only bring the Omer from Eretz Israel. So if the Tanakama bought the connection between the Heter Chadash and the Mitzvah Chadash, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, then the fact that you're only allowed to bring the Omer from Eretz Israel would be proof that we pask, and the Chadash doesn't apply in Chuzar's Midoraita, which would be a great avenue for Kula. But it could be that the Tanakama just holds that these limitations are not from the Matir channel, they're from the Mitzvah channel, just like you have to bring high quality. That doesn't mean that bad quality grain doesn't have an Isser Chadash. It's just that it's not good for a mitzvah. So it could be that the mitzvah is to bring from Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't mean the Chadash doesn't buy in Chutz Laaretz. And that, like I said, that's the Rambam Baskins. Those 2 points.
Why?
I think...
If we're going with the mitzvah path, why doesn't that lead to a kula for outside of Chutz Laaretz?
No, because the mitzvah is to bring from Eretz Yisrael, just like the mitzvah is to bring high quality. That doesn't mean that anything that you can't use for the mitzvah doesn't have an Isser Chadash. Right? No one says that low quality grain doesn't have an Isser Chadash. They just think it shouldn't be used for the mitzvah. So it could be that Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laaretz for the Karban Omer is the same thing.
It could be by definition the grain in Eretz Yisrael is...
Yeah, it could be that it's just definitionally not considered...
It's definitionally just better.
So whatever.
It has to be the mitzvah.
Right, objectively, metaphysically better, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever, more representative, whatever.
It's made of milk and honey.
Good. So let's look.
But if you were to rely on a kula, it would, like, the best kula would be outside of Eretz Yisrael and by a non-Jew. It would be both.
Well, potentially. But let's look. So now let's look. But as we saw, so let's look, okay? Now we're going to go lot. So let's look at the tour, okay? I want to just show you. So this is, look at the tour. The tour is a fair summary of where the halacha stood. You know, according the simplest read of the sugya as nifsak by most poskim, which was Hilchot Chadash. So Chadash is mentioned in 2 places in the main siman in Shulchan Aruch is this one, is Yoredeh Siman Reish Tzadik Gimel, but it's also mentioned at the end of Siman Orachayim Siman Taf Pei Tet, which is Sfirat HaOmer. It's mentioned Derech Agav at the end of Sfirat HaOmer. So the 2 places that you look for the commentaries on it are the main sugya here in Yeridea, which is dealing with Isurim, right? All of Hilchot Kashrut, Nida, that's all in Yeridea, so Chadash goes there as well, because it's one of those Isurim. But it also appears, sort of parenthetically, in Yachot Svir Omer. So the Torah summarizes. K'tiv. You want to take it, Daniel?
Sure. V'lechem ukli ve'karmel lo sa'achlu ad etzem hayom. Is that? She'asar le'achol me'esivos chamesh...
Mitu'at chamesh ha'minim?
Minim ad shikriv ha'omer shahu b'shisha asar b'nisa.
Right, so we know this. The five grains, they're asar until you bring the omer on the 16th of Nisa.
Be'isr zenoa ben bizman habayis, ben shlozan habayis, ben be'eretz, ben b'chusa eretz, ben b'shal Yisrael, ben b'shal gai.
There you go. And he says... What?
What is Bishal?
Bishal. In the...
Oh, from
the... Right. And he says, summary of the halacha. This applies. It's Beit HaMikdash? Yeah. No Beit HaMikdash. In Israel, out of Israel. Owned by Jew, owned by non-Jew.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Ella. What's the Ella? Shibizman Shomer Karev.
Mutar Miyad Beshisha Asar Nisan Achar HaKubasa. The Kuvim Shiyodim Shikivar Karev.
He said, but when the Beit HaMikdash existed, you needed to wait until you brought the Karban, which for people who lived in Yerushalayim meant whenever the Karban was brought. If you lived outside Yerushalayim, it meant Chatzot, because by Chatzot, you could assume the Karban was brought. Right? We've seen this. Very good. Ubizman Deleka Omer. And now remember, does the Torah hold this is Doraita or Derabanan?
Doraita.
Well, look at the next line. Va'idna.
She'anu osin shnei yamim aser kol yom sheva aser ad chelas leil shmona aser.
So he takes the very good. So he holds the most machmir possible position. Remember, we had three positions.
18th
until the 18th. Why? Because we're machmir sveik of the yoma and like Rabbi Yehuda of ad v'ad bechal, and therefore we're machmir until the end of the 16th. But because of sveik of the yoma under the 17th, which means you can't eat until nightfall on the 18th.
Oh, until
the 18th, right? The end of the 17th, going into the 18th. And therefore, standard summary of the halacha de tour is the most machmir possible construal of all the sugya that we've seen. Is that we paskin? It's the oraisa, sveika de yoma. Whether or not there's a base of mikdash, whether you're in Israel and Chutz Laaretz, whether it's owned by a Jew or non-Jew, so zehu ze. Okay? Now, I will hold off on the rest of it for now, because then he's going to get into the possible kulot, not from the Mendel kulot, but more like sfeikot that come up in ours. But this is the summary of this. So let's try to at least look at the Beis Yosef today, and then we'll try to start setting up kulot next week, okay? Look at the Beis Yosef in 7, and the Beis Yosef just tells you, where did he get all this from? He says...
Which Beis Yosef?
Mashikaz of Bain Beretz Yisrael Bain Mechutz Laaretz, right? So he says,
Basof Perik Kofem Al the Kedushin.
No, Kama. First Perik, not the 141st Perik.
Okay, that's all right.
I know you're tired, but there are only four Brachim in Kedushin, not 141.
Right. And Masnisin Pugasa.
What?
De Rabbi Eliezer Rabban Vekasbu Harif Veharosh. V'kayim alon, Karabi Eliezer, de'amar ha'chadash, aser, bein be'eretz, bein be'chus le'eretz, de'stam lon...
De'stam lon, nanakavatei! He said, they paskin like Eliezer. Why are they paskin like Eliezer? Because the stam mishnah nerla.
Right?
And he says, again, I you think this is a long source because it's 10 pages, but I gave you almost no primary sources in the Rishonim after this. Right? I gave you the Gemaras and I gave you the Beis Yosef saying, look, this is why the Rush, the Rambam, the Tur, they all paskin like the Mishnah and Arla. Because it's the Stam Mishnah. And he says, why does the Tur paskin that is true of Jews or non-Jews? Yeah.
I'm just Stam Mishnah, wouldn't you?
A Mishnah that is doesn't have any positions attributed. It just says a halacha without giving it a name. That is a very strong Mishnah. In general, the halacha is Kistam Mishnah. If the Mishnah just says something is Usur and doesn't say, you know, Rabbi Akiva says it's Usur, we normally paskin like that Mishnah because it's unattributed. It's just, this is what people hold. So Stam Mishnayot are very powerful. Right. So basically, all the major Rishonim said, we paskin like the Stam Mishnah. That's it. And these names are, I know, very small names, right? These are not very important names in Halakha, right? The Rambam, the Rush, the Tur, right? The Riff, right? All the big, all the heavy hitters, the Rishonim, all of them. Baskin that way. All of them. Period.
Kaddish, Isser, Minatora, Bechol Mokom. Mechain, Psak, Rambam, Beperik, Yod, Hilchos, Echol, Esseres.
Right? He's like, Riff, Rambam, Rush, Tur. Good? Happy? Right? He's like, this is the consensus of major Rishonim. Good. And then he says, Umashka, the Bain, Bishal, Yisrael, Bain, Bishal, Akum.
Kachkasu Hatosfos Mordechai Basof Perek Kama the Kiddushin Bekasu the Hachi Mashma the Yerushalmi.
Good. And they get it from the Yerushalmi. Now, how did they read the Yerushalmi? Because we said the Yerushalmi is a potential avenue for Heter. So, how did they read the Yerushalmi? So, this is why the Yerushalmi is very unclear. So, this is where we have to take a moment and pause. Right? Because Tosvos. So, which Tosvos does he say?
Tosvos Sham. Cold.
Right, so it's Tosas in Kiddushin.
Yes.
So, how does Tosas read this Yerushalmi? So I'll read it to you. So Tosas says, one second.
So Tosva
says,
do Sephardim hold it us or Ashkenazim hold by the Kulas?
Sorry. I'm sorry. Which Yerushalmi does Tosva base himself on? In Orla.
Orla Pegimel.
Right, in Yerushalmi in Orla. And remember what the Yerushalmi in Orla said? Yerushalmi in Orla had said that Chala doesn't apply by non-Jews, but by implication, Chadash does, right? That Chala apply, right? So that's Tosfos and the Mordechai. That's why they paskin like the Yerushalmi in Arla, not the Yerushalmi in Chala. The Yerushalmi in Arla. V'chein got of a smag. The smag as well. So Mr. Gadol, the Zalosh and Arush, but Juvat Klal Sheni. Asher nistapek more im halacha kerei Rabbi Eliezer demachadash asher min haTorah b'chutz laaretz. When the Rush was asked about it, he said, oh, you have a safek. There is no safek. There is no safek. The halacha kistam mishnah b'misechet arla. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Sabri Kavatei. Rabbi Elfaz, Pazak halacha k'Rabbi Elazar. So there is no safek. So machlok is the Gemara, we paskin k'Rabbi Elazar. The Riv paskins. V'chein b'sefer ha-mitzvot uvavi Ezri. V'chein pasku, look at his lashon. V'chein pasku Bekol hachiburim. That's what every posek says. Every single one. This is the Rosh talking. That in his time, his assessment of the previous hundreds of years of Rishonim was every book he knew of paskin this way. Every one. The Chadash Nag Mishel Goyim. V'divartemahu. And then he says, furthermore, it would be shocking if you held not the way, lama lo yanek b'shal goyim. Why in God's name should it not? Demand the reyesh kinyan legoy, and then he goes to the sugya of kinyan goy beretz Yisrael, etc. And now the there's a machloka whether non-Jews can actually take ownership of Eretz Yisrael or not for halachic purposes, which is a sugya that we should go into, but we are never going to finish this year if we try to do that. So yeah,
off with their head.
Like the rest of Shas.
Very good. And he says, and then he quotes V'divrei Rabbeinu Baruch Hain, and he says, oh, and there is some heter of Rabbeinu Baruch.
Who that?
Right, one of the Rishonim. But watch how much he actually tells you, and this is where we're going to see that the first avenue of heter is Rabbeinu Baruch. He says, Hain Tmuhin. They are shocking. Since I've heard of one person who suggested a heter, Rabbeinu Baruch, that's weird. That's just weird.
He's
also Ashkenazi. Yes, thank you.
Are you trying to be racist? Because
myself?
No.
And we'll see what he says, right? And he's going to give a very interesting position, which I've given you in 8 and 9, in the Maram, quoting the Maram Rittenberg and in the Rush. But if we stopped right now, you would see that we opened up a few potential avenues for Heter, and by the Rush's assessment, how many major poskim took any of the avenues Lakula before, let's say, the mid-13th century? By the Rush's assessment, zero. Yes. Zero. Nobody.
That's a problem. I'm going to have to alert the authorities.
Now, what we're going to see going forward is that there are a few avenues for it there. One is to embrace some of these reeds that have been rejected, right? To be Mekel, B'shel Goyim, or B'shel Chod Floretz, which we'll see some Achronim will take. The most prominent Ashkenazi view, however, is not like that. It's that even though we paskin, it's usher, there are, that's only by Vadai, and for certain reasons that have to do with the way our grain is grown, maybe our grain is probably Yashan.
Because of the greenhouse thing?
So that's what we'll see, that's starting in the Rush, but we'll see it's very weird. And as the poskim will know, that may have been true in the time of the Rush. Could be in the time of the Rush they used winter wheat. Right? They used mostly winter wheat. That proves nothing about 2020. Right? It could be the time of the Rush. Chadash, he poskim Chadash was Aser, but most things were Yashan. And therefore he said, you don't have to worry about the possibility that something happens to be Chadash, right? It's Batel Barov. But that is not going to help you if in fact the Metzius is going to change in, right, in modern day whatever. So, and let me just say, winter wheat versus spring wheat. I'm just, and we'll end with this for now, just out of curiosity, right?
Winter
wheat is normally Yashan because it was grown in the winter and therefore Pesach passed by it, right? Spring wheat is planted, as it sounds, after the Omer. So, let's see, the internet has been a bit temperamental. So we'll see if I can actually pull it up, the data. If not, we'll have to come back to it. But so far what you've seen is that on the, you know, so again, we're going to open two types of heterim, right? Two types of heterim. One are positions that are going to say, no, we actually embrace the fundamental kulot of Chutz Laaretz or Goy. The second avenue of Heter is we don't embrace those. We actually think Chadash is also in Chutz Laaretz, but for certain reasons that have to do with our grain growing process, our grain is not Vadai Chadash. The benefit of the first one is that it doesn't have to be reassessed in light of our Metzius.
Yeah,
right, but what's the downside of the first positions?
No one holds.
It's a minority view. The benefit of the latter view is that it bases itself on primary shitot. The downside is it has to be reassessed in terms of mitziut. And while maybe it was true in the time of the Rush or the Rama, maybe not. If it's not true in our time, their authority won't help us. What we're going to see is that basically the approaches Lakula divide along those lines. Right? We're going to see some shita that embrace the Chutz Laaretz Goy Heterim, even though, as we've seen, that seems to be in the minority, but they will base themselves in the Yerushalmi and things like that. And others who are going to say, no, let's try to find Heterim within the structure of Paskening the Chadash is also in Chutz Laaretz, why our grain might not fall into that category. So that's what we're going to see next week. And again, I want to, you know, sometimes I'm okay summarizing things for you. In this particular case, because there are really, really severe halachal mice implications for what we're doing, I really do want to read not every line of what I gave you on those 10 pages inside, but I do want you to see the main positions inside, because I want you to see, right, the argumentation. We've set up the issues very, very clearly. It's clear what the problem is, right? But I want you to understand how the shitot emerge. Okay?